about Job this morning. And we're following with this, if you will, series on faith. And we're going to read about Job. Many of you know what happened with Job. And our text verse is Job chapter 2 this morning, and verse 9 and 10. So we'll read it and have a word of prayer, and I'll give you the title of the message, kind of let you know where we're going with this. And chapter 2 of Job, verses 9 through 10, the Bible says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness. And it's truly a miracle that I'm here today, still alive, able to preach your word. And God, I thank you for this, thy people, and what a blessing it is to see so many this morning. And surely, God, there are people that are, your children are hurting. And so this morning, I just pray that you'll speak to their hearts and, Lord, encourage them. And encourage me this morning. And I just thank you for being so good. Bless the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we get a little hard on Job's wife. You know, we think about what she said to him. And she was married to a good man. He was godly. And she gave him 10 children. And I want you to understand that she went through just as much as he went through. All of her children died also. And we don't need to judge her. I can't even comprehend losing all of my children in one day, losing everything that I had, everything gone by the wayside. And she had some harsh words. But I want to say to you, she's known. We need not to judge her too harshly. She was known for telling Job to curse God. And what she said, of course, was not good. But consider her suffering. Consider that she suffered with her husband as well. And this is the reaction of a depressed woman. So what she said was really not like her. If you look at what Job said this. What did he say? Verse 10. He said, "But he said unto him, her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." He's saying, right now, honey, you are not speaking in faith. Right now, you're speaking as one of the foolish speak. So I want to talk to you this morning about how the foolish talk. How the foolish talk. You know, when we look at this passage, we understand that Job went through great trials. We understand that he lost everything. If you go back to chapter 1 and we pick it up, let's just say we'll pick it up in verse 13. "And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine with their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. And yea, they have slain the servants with thy servants. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consume them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." I'll tell you what, I know they say not to kill the messenger. But I sure wouldn't want to be those guys having to deliver that message to that man. Not only were all his servants gone, and all of his sheep were gone. The Bible says, "While he was yet speaking," verse 17, "there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine with their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And look at Job's response. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground, and he worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I tell you what, that is a great ordeal to go through. And my question to you this morning is, what do you do when your trial comes? You know, I've gone through many little trials as the pastor here, and honestly, it all started when I got baptized. I didn't get baptized until I was 30 years old. I kind of lived as a semi-Christian, hidden, undercover. I was dabbling with sin on a regular basis, and I knew I was saved and going to heaven, and the Holy Spirit convicted me, but I was not living for God. And when I decided, when God brought me to a place, He dealt with me so that I could live for Him, I decided to follow Him in what's called believer's baptism. And once I put on the armor of God and I got baptized, that's when everything hit. I remember the first and only time I had a lawsuit was right after I got baptized. The guy sued me. And it was actually a police officer and his wife from New Jersey who were suing me. I said, what'd you do? Well, story goes, I got out of my vehicle, it rolled downhill, hit her up against her vehicle. With her face, she knocked out the window in that vehicle and fell down between the two. It broke her nose. And she was okay other than that. No other broken bones, another thing like that. And what a terrible thing. And right there on the scene, the police, the Palm Beach Gardens police, knew that this guy was a New Jersey police officer, and they started trying to entrap me through my statements. What'd you do? How'd you do it? Were you in the vehicle? They were pumping me, trying to get me. And then, in order to get any type of a settlement, they had to sue me first. And so I didn't know what to do. I went to Brother Michael at Landmark. He was the guy that did the baptism. He's the guy that baptized me. And he was a legal guy. He knew some legal jargon, and he prepared a statement for me, and we sent it off. And I tell you what, I come away from that thing scot-free. I did not have to pay a dime. And their insurance picked up everything. And come to find out, that was a brand new vehicle. This is another thing. I bought that vehicle off the showroom at Nissan in West Palm Beach. I paid for a year's worth of insurance. Come to find out, I wasn't even insured. They took the money, and I was uncovered at the time of the accident. Just to add injury to insult. And it was truly a miracle of God that I came away from that thing scot-free. God knew my heart. I did everything right. I took my credit card and let them swipe it. $1,200 right up front. Thinking I was good, it's covered, everything was good, only to find out I got took at the dealership. This was in the dealership, this happened. And so, you know, God puts us through things that we don't understand, but listen, it is foolish to claim any excuse for not being faithful. I want you to understand something. What we see here is how the foolish talk. And through Job's wife, we understand some things. And I want to say to you, it is foolish to claim any excuse for not being faithful. Dost thou still retain thine integrity? That's what she asked him. She thought Job had a good reason to rebel. And what I'm asking you this morning is, what is your reaction when God puts you through a trial? You understand that all things, nothing can happen to you except God allows it to happen. Amen. The one part that Job never heard was back in the first part of the chapter. We see chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now, take that into context. Job being the oldest book in the Bible, I believe these sons of God were angels, because this was before God Himself and the devil came up there with Him. Now, you can argue with me with that all you want to, but and there's a couple different views on that, but I believe the sons of God were angels that were before God, and the devil came up to accuse Job before God. And look what happens. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Guess where he's at today? Doing the same thing in the earth, commanding his demons to give us grief. And the one thing, I read this book just recently, the one thing that blows me away is that Satan's demons hate each other. They hate their master, but man, are they effective. And man, do they move in unison, and they move under their king's authority, their God's authority, and they move hastily. They do not waste any time hating each other, hating their condemnation, hating the devil, but they still work in unison. Can you imagine that? If the children of God would work like that on earth, oh my goodness. Wouldn't the gospel get somewhere? Amen. It'd be all over Osprey. There wouldn't be a lost person in Osprey. Amen? But look, Job, having all of this stuff come down. Now watch this. Let's finish this point. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said unto Job, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance has increased in thine land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face." This is what Satan was trying to get Job to do. Now, I want to say to you, I preach many times against sin. I preach that we should live a certain way. Why? Because I believe every Christian ought to have that hedge about him, just like Job did. I believe if you get under the authority of the Word of God and the authority of the church and even the preacher and do what you're told, obey without questioning, you'll have a hedge around you. If you get under the authority of your household, your father, your mother, and you obey them and do what they say, God will have a hedge around your house. If you financially tithe and give to God's work and are obedient when He tells you to spend and not to spend, God will put a hedge around your finances. Amen? That's what I want to see in each one of our lives. But what happens when God takes the hedge down? Do you still have the type of faith that you need in order to follow Him? You see, she acted as one of the foolish, Job said. He knew better. He knew his wife. You know, we get down on Job's wife a lot. But he knew this was out of character for her. He said, "Because you speak as one of the foolish." He was rebuking her. It was kind of like, "Wake up! Listen to what you're saying! That's foolish! Don't you know who God is? He's the one that brought us in here! He's the one that's going to take us out of here! Praise His name!" Amen. Amen. Listen, we need to be like that when our trial comes. We need to thank God for every situation that goes on. Do you curse God? "Oh man, I wish this didn't happen. Oh man, this is unfair. Why me?" These are the questions we ask ourselves when the trials come our way. When you do that, what you're doing is doubting God. And I want to say to you, that's the way the fool acts. Makes an excuse for not being faithful. "I thank God for this couple. I was blown away. They just got married, folks." And they're in the house of God the very next day. Praise God for that.
You know, they understand one thing by their actions. They know where their blessing came from. They know who brought them together, and they know who will keep them together. Amen? It's God. And listen, she thought that Job had a reason to rebel. His property, his children, his wealth were gone. His health was gone. The Bible says that he had boils from head to toe. And he actually took ashes and he put them all over himself. Could you imagine what you look like to take? You got boils and your body's oozing all this pus all over the place. That's disgusting. And then he took ashes to put them on himself. That's shame. That's humiliation. Not only was he down, but he was made to be humiliated. All for the glory of God. I'll tell you what, that's the toughest test I have to go through. The other day I heard about something that somebody said about me. Since I've been pastor. And that's humiliating. That, now, you got to consider the state of the person who would say something like that. And the lack of understanding that they possess to say something like that. And you don't have to know what it is. I'm not even going to glorify it by saying it. But the fact is, it was humiliating for me. And what I wanted to do was retaliate. I want to set them straight. I want to tell them of the goodness of God. I want to tell them about the grace of God. Do you know how good God is? And the fact is, it is a miracle I'm here. Praise God. Praise His holy name. Amen? But when you're in that time, you automatically, you want to react. Job's wife said, curse God. Job said, you're crazy. I'm not doing it. I know where my blessings come from. As a matter of fact, this whole situation, he didn't understand it, but he knew God was in it. His friends bad-mouthed him. His friends said, you must be cursed of God. You must be in sin. Look at what's happened to you. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, you're here this morning, you've gone through some trials. As a Christian, you've been in church, and your own people said, something's wrong with you. Are you in sin? Have you checked your life? And you know you're innocent. You've done right before God. You know that God was in this somehow and you don't understand it. But you know what? You're determined not to sin. And that's good. But I'll tell you what, so many Christians have been taken out like that because the devil knows just what works on you. Job proved that he did not serve God for gain. Many people come to church, and I'm gonna use you guys for illustration here. But I've had couples. This is what was so wonderful about yesterday. I've had couples come to me, and they show up all of a sudden out of nowhere. I was thinking about this really, really young couple, and their moms and dad didn't want them to get married. And all of a sudden, they just start showing up and going to church. I said, "Oh my goodness, okay." And then right after the first and second service, "Hey, preacher, I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." They want to get married. Alright, I know the scenario. But I know enough to go and check with mom and dad first. These guys are like 17, 18, and they're wanting to get married. And they just showed up. And what it is, and it doesn't matter if they're young people or older people, what they understand is if they're going to make it in this marriage, if God's going to bless this thing, then I need to be right with Him. And they want God's blessings on it, no matter what. Doesn't matter. You see people who have been living like the devil, and they all of a sudden they think about getting married, what do? Come to church. Right? And what the beauty of it was that these guys have been coming to church, amen, apart from each other, and God is the one that brought them together. That was a blessing. They didn't come because of the gain. They didn't come because of what they were going to get from serving God. They came because God is God. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? True faith is based on God and God alone. Nothing should be able to happen in your life that will tear you apart from your faith in God. Amen. Nothing. I've said it over and over again. If my wife leaves me, and sometimes I think she is going to leave me, because I am a rascal. And she does demonstrate the love of God and the grace of God. And she forgives me when I make a mistake. And I thank God for that. But what if she left me? What if she left me? Everything
this is all gone. Preachers know that. You're limited by your wife. You're limited by your family. You can never go beyond your wife and family. Here's Job, lost his whole family, and his wife is saying, curse God. That makes it real difficult to serve God. But what I'm saying to you is these things can happen. These things can happen to each person in here. I hear stories all day long about how they're bitter against God. People won't get saved. They won't accept God because they're bitter, because God took their father and their mother or their children. But the one thing I still say, even a person that rejects God because he's taken one of their loved ones, at least they know it's God that did it. There's hope for that person. It would be one thing if they say, there is no God. See, this doesn't matter. But they know it's God that's in control. And listen, Job proved that he didn't serve God for gain. And our greater responsibility and the view of Christ's sufferings is, ask yourself this question, can I compare my sacrifice to what God did for me? Can I compare my sacrifice to what God did for me? No way. What Jesus Christ did for you and the whole world should blow your mind. The fact that He left heaven, first of all, the fact that God the Father turned His back on Him at His greatest time of need. And we moan and complain and listen. That's why Job's in the Bible. Because scarcely do we see folks go through trials like this, but through Job's testimony and his statement of faith, we can understand that there are no excuses for not being faithful to God. Can my persecution compare to His? And then I want to say to you, it's foolish to think that God has no further use for us. When you do go through a trial like that, when you lose everything, when people turn their back on you, you know how I know how that is? Because of my past when I did the things with the drugs and alcohol. And I use this, now listen, you can condemn me all you want to for saying this to you. But this stuff has no power over me any longer. I am victorious today because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is all about Him. And before that, I was so proud and arrogant that He couldn't even use me. It took that in order to get God to humble me where I could speak for Him and be obedient to Him. And so, you know, I forget my point now. When you go through something like that, it's foolish to think that God has no more use for you. Because honestly, when you fail, that's when God begins. That's when He wants to use you. And to throw your life away or to give up on God is foolish. That's how the foolish talk. So, despair and depression, we need to realize, are Satan's tools. That's what he uses to try to dupe you out of serving God. He comes to you and he tells you, curse God and die. And he says it through your wife. Listen, many times the devil spoke to me through Christians. Christians who were in the flesh. Christians that said something foolish or sinful or just didn't even think it, said something to hurt me. A Christian. And I, you know what? You can look at that thing for what it is and say, that is the devil right there. That's the devil. And I'll tell you what, there's times when I don't need it the most. And I hate to say this, but my wife will say a word to me and it totally discourages me, but I know it's not her. And that's when, and you know when it used to happen all the time? Just before I got up to preach. I remember one of the first services I had here. We had a Sunday school class over here for adult women. And we had a new couple in the church, and they were, you know, they fit the bill, and I thought, man, they're going to join the church. This is great. And the woman went in the back there. The man was out here. At the end of the service, she's in the back, in the foyer there, crying, weeping, bawling. She goes in the bathroom, comes back out, and there's a ruckus, and they're talking. And I'm going, oh my goodness, what happened? This is in Sunday school. So I go back there to find out. Just before
the time, the 10 minutes before I preach, I go back to find the hall where we're leaving. I said, why are you leaving? Well, there's a woman in there. She had another version of the Bible. And that is wrong. And she pulled it from it. And I said, oh my goodness. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's our stand. That is correct. But I have not found out all the details on why this happened. And so before I go and shooting off my gun and killing everybody, I need to find out what's going on. And you would be wise to do the same. And I said, just stay. So they stayed. And we got to the bottom of the matter. But the fact is, the devil was behind that. And he was trying to get them out of the church before they ever got started. And many times, what you need to understand about him is he's a master of illusion. So what you see in a moment is not necessarily the truth. He's handing you a lie. He's trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I'll tell you, I'll give you another case in point. What happened just recently, I was talking to Brother Jason. And I'm coming to church, and I was going kind of late. And all of a sudden, I see a car. I've told him this already. And it looked like he and his wife, and they were dressed very casually. This is Sunday morning, just before Sunday school. And he's going through the light this way, and I'm driving this way. And I look over, and I saw same hairdo, same t-shirt and jeans that he's worn. I see the same outfit on him, same build, same hair, same everything. And I thought, what are they doing? So I'm driving to church, and I picked up the phone, and I called Earl. I said, Earl, did Brother Jason make it in? He goes, yeah, he's right here with me. I was like, praise the Lord. It didn't make sense to me. I was really in disbelief, but that was a snapshot. It was a snapshot judgment. It was a snapshot, and the devil tried to get me all off guard, all out of whack. Because if they didn't show up to church, what's wrong with them, you know? What are they going through? I need to talk with them. I mean, something serious is wrong. They're called. And for them not to be, yeah, but that's what the devil does. How many times, think about it, you think about it as you're going through life, how many times does that happen to you?
I do that at the school. I do that at my house with my children. I make those snapshot judgments because I've only got a piece and the devil's trying to get me in the flesh so that I'll get outside of his will, God's will. Because he can't make me do anything. He can't make me. I have to choose. And so the devil feeds me this lie and he says, this is what it's about, and it's not. Amen. And so I have to tell the devil, get thee behind me, Satan.
Amen.
God wants to use you for His glory. Do you think yourself too tired, too shy, or too old? When these things happen, I got news for you. You are not done. I'll tell you when you're done. When they put the casket, when they seal the casket on the top of you, that's when you're done. I tell you, there's some older folks that say, you know what, God can't use me anymore. I got news for you. Yes, He can. God uses you up until the day you die. I think of Brother Earl all the time. Brother Earl's 83. He's coming up on 83. 84. He is 83. He just had his birthday. 83 years old. He works Brother Jason under the table. He makes Ed look like he should be his older brother. And then I go down there and he bosses me around. Amen? And I take it. Because he's a good man.
Amen.
But he's still doing it. I mean, it's guys like that that we should look to. It's guys like Job that didn't give up no matter what it looks like. It's situations like this that ought to cause us to go straight to God. And I'm going to tell you something. Many times God has to bring these type of situations just to bring us to our knees. Because we're so stinking proud, He can't even speak to us anymore. And we're like children sometimes. If it doesn't all go our way, then we want to rebel against the authority. And whether you want to say that's the truth or not, that's exactly what we do. And Job did not accuse God or didn't sin and all of that. And so I want to say to you, Lastly, it is foolishness to forget the goodness of God when the troubles come. Job's wise reply, he said to his wife, but he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" What he was saying is, God is the one that's in control of that. We ought to be thankful for whatever He gives us. He gives us the good and He gives us the bad. And we should be happy with that. Listen, there's no passing pain that can compare to God's goodness. How good has He been to you? How good has He been to us? Think about it. His love provided salvation for us. Full and free. We don't deserve it. We were blind. We were on our way to hell. We didn't even want to answer. And God sought us out. When I got saved, I wasn't looking for Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that. I was running my own show, going my own way. And He intervened in my life and brought me to Him. His love provided my salvation. His daily provision and protection. Think about how He provides for you every day. He provides for the birds outside. He provides for the earth with its rain. And then He promises us a bright future. Amen. Never question in the dark what God gave you in the light. Never question in the dark what God gave you in the light. Let me just conclude this and say to you, the devil's going to tempt you with foolish questions when you go through your trial. When your test comes, how will you respond? Will you respond like Job did? God's in control. He knows what He's doing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sackcloth and ashes, ripped clothes, He got down on His knees and the Bible says He worshipped. Or are you going to respond like Job's wife did? Curse God and die. This Christianity is too hard. Why am I being tested? Why do I have to go through all these trials? Why can't it be the next guy? You know, I see all these other Christians, they're doing it. Why can't I do it too? The devil's going to try to drive us to foolish conclusions. He's going to urge us to foolish actions. But remember who you are. I want you to turn down to chapter 2 and go down to the last... turn to chapter 19. Job chapter 19. And look at verse 25. The Bible says, Job said this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." Tell me Job didn't know about the resurrection. Tell me he didn't know about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to live every day in the light that Jesus is coming back. He's going to set it straight. He's going to right all the wrongs. He's going to take all the pain away. He's going to take His children up to heaven. Amen? And listen, it's not going to be that long. Some of you were saying, you know, I was thinking about Dan and his wife. He said, "Yep. This one's to the end." And I was thinking, man, you don't have that much time. <laughs> 20 years? 30 years? Right? My wife and I, we've been married 11 years. It's gone by like that. 11 years. I can only imagine. I'm waiting to see my children grow up. See what they look like. 18 years old. By the time David's 18 years old, I'll be... really old. He'll be calling me Grandpa. I'll be out there at the basketball. If God allows me to be here that long. Amen. Remember who you are. Remember that God's coming back. Job said, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He knew the future was bright. I got news for you. We think so earthly minded, we forget about heaven. Job lost 10 children. If you read the scripture, he got all 10 of them back. Not only did did God restore everything that he lost, but in heaven he has twice as much.
Amen.
You'll have 20 kids when you get to heaven. Listen, everything that I messed up, even with the grace of God, knowing who God was, everything that I've messed up, God has restored to me and given me more already here on earth.
Amen.
I've never been in the place that I'm at right now. I've never had so much. I've never been so blessed. And I don't deserve it. But God took my mess and cleaned it up and gave me a whole lot better. So don't doubt God when you go through your trial. Because you will go through a trial. Everybody's got one. I think about each one of my kids. The first kid, Belinda, she got bit by an ant. A red ant. And the next thing you know, she comes running up to us and I saw all these little bites all over her hand. Then she shows me her feet. They're all bites. Then it was her arms. Then it was her belly. Then her neck started to break out. And I realized right then and there, she has had an allergic reaction and we rushed to Tampa General as fast as we could get there. And by the time we got there, I thought, man, surely they're not going to take us in. As soon as we got in and they saw what happened, they rushed her in immediately. There were 20 or 30 people in the waiting room and she went right in. And immediately they started asking us, what happened? Her arms are swollen up. And what we came to understand is that ants, red ants, have the same toxin as bees. They're in the same family. So if you're allergic to a red ant, you're probably allergic to bees. And it can kill you. And so they got her with the Benadryl and they monitored her and we got her in there in time. But that was our scare with her. Then Caleb. He was less than a year old. In the middle of the night, he had a fever. No big deal. We'll give him Tylenol, put him right back down to bed in between us. My wife wakes up shaking me. Honey, there's something wrong with him. There's something wrong with him. He's doing this in the bed. 106 his fever went to. Spike in the middle of the night. Convulsing. I grabbed him, picked him up, started rocking. Come on, take it. Come on, Caleb. Come on, Caleb. Tom went down in his throat, heart started turning blue, scared to fire. Called 911, I threw him on the floor and rolled him over and he started to breathe again. That was our scare with Caleb. And then David, right after he was born, he choked on the afterbirth. They had not cleaned it all out. And I thank God I wasn't there because she called me up. I was on my way home and they had to call the nurses in to clean his passages out because he was choking. He was going to die. And she, all CPR in the world, when it's your child, doesn't matter. What I'm saying to you is, every one of us is going to go through our personal trial. And what you do is going to be determined by how you view God.
Amen.
Don't ever. You know what? My worst fear is not what can happen to me. And I love my wife. But my worst fear is what happens to my children.
Amen.
And, you know, I've heard it said over and over again. God's taking some children on the mission field from missionaries. He's taking children. I don't want it to happen. I'd like to think that I would face that adversity with pure faith and do the right thing, but I just don't know. So what I'm trying to say to you is, hang on to what God has done that's good in your life. Don't turn your back on God in your darkest hour because He's right there with you. You don't know the conversation that He had with the devil. You don't know what's going on spiritually, why He's testing you like this. But trust Him. He's worthy. He's worth it. And He'll deliver you through all of it. That's the type of faith I need. And in order to get it, what did Job say? He gives the good and he gives the bad. He's got to give the bad or allow it to happen in order for you to see how good he is.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for your great loving kindness. And God, I see through the Scripture this morning that we turn our back on You quite regularly, and even for the smallest of things. So Lord, my prayer today is that You'll forgive us. Maybe You have spoken to hearts this morning. They want to come and talk to You and lay their burden at Your feet. And God, my prayer is that You'll increase our faith as we walk this life of faith. Help us to have the type of faith that Job had and not sin and not turn our back on You when we go through our trials. Have Your will and Your way in this invitation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Brother Tim, would you come and lead us?
Page 330. Let's all stand.